At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, everybody. It's Blake.
And this is Drew.
And you're listening to the Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Controllers podcast.
Everybody, welcome back to the podcast. I don't know why I said back. You're probably not even here for the first time.
It happens.
Welcome to episode 106 of the podcast. We got another game for you this week. You might know what it is if you listened to the last week's episode. I'm not going to say the name right now because I always let Blake do that. But before we get into that, we'll do a little social media preamble. You can find us on all social media platforms just by searching the podcast name. We know it's long. That is a joke for me and Blake only.
Mm-hmm.
There you can keep track of the comings and goings of the podcast. Most importantly, we want people to come to our Twitch streams with our cousin / podcast editor, Brian. We're having a lot of fun. Well, I said we're having a lot of fun on there. We're having fun with Woe Long Fallen Dynasty, kind of intermittently having fun. And then we've been recently doing we did a revisit of Grounded we did a stream before we recorded episode, and then we did a stream the other night with more Grounded because Blake didn't update Woe Long. I think we're all a little burned out and disappointed of Grounded, especially the online editor aspect of it. But there's always more stuff to come. Once we reach the end of Woe Long, we'll be moving on to another game. But the streams are pretty fun, we feel like, because you got three of us in there, and then we do a rotating of whoever's on camera, so you were wondering which one of us, what we look like, I guess. I don't know why you would wonder that. I think it makes the podcast worse if you know what we look like, maybe.
Yeah.
It's gross.
UGLY, we ain't got no alibi, we ugly. God.
Really old references. There's a lot of really old references too. So there's always that. You can drop in. We like to talk about video games or any kind of stuff that's going on for nerd stuff.
I think our last stream, because we were so annoyed with Grounded, we started talking about Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, well, you started talking about Magic the Gathering.
Just random things, but Brian was into it. He has some decks, so it's definitely something.
I do some Magic. We might look at doing some Magic the Gathering streams eventually. Might have people if they want to drop in and. I've always tried to get Blake to do Friday Night Magic for the podcast and try to see if anybody wants to come in and play him on a stream, but he just won't ever do it, even though it's super easy to set up Magic the Gathering streaming.
It's easy. I'm lazy.
That's the end of it.
That's the end of it. I have a hard time putting on pants some days.
Yeah. So if you want to come hang out with us in our Twitch streams, can be kind of be a part of the podcast or whatever, you can follow us on there at twitch.tv/2smokingcontrollers. There's no real schedule to it. It's three people with lives and stuff like that. It's kind of hard to line everybody up at the same day. It's not much. We try to stream at least once a week. I don't think we've ever managed twice in the same week. Everybody's got too much going on. So we do try to stream at least once a week.
And we do tend to stick to the middle between Tuesday and Thursday.
Kind of the middle of the week kind of stuff. So if you want to help us, if you want us to help you get over hump day or something, whatever that means.
It's not as fun as you think it is. It's the middle of the week.
And lastly, we have a store and Patreon page. The store has all kinds of goodies on it. Speaking of Blake being lazy, I've been lazy as I've got the new art for the podcast, and I need to slap on shirts and jackets and all kinds of stuff. I have not done that, even though I've got the new art from Devious that helps me do that. Speaking of Devious, the Patreon, Patreon money and stuff like that, that really just kind of circles back around and goes back to Devious when we need to buy art for the podcast or anything like that. The Patreon, you get the unedited episodes. Like I say, if you don't like Brian's edits, join the Patreon. You get the episodes before Brian got his hands on them.
And see how...
I don't know if that's a selling point or not.
I mean, some people prefer the true voice.
Raw audio of us making mistakes.
Oh, for sure. Touch my goats.
So there's that on Patreon. You get the unedited episode. See, there's a mistake that Brian should leave in. Unedited episode. A week early before the podcast comes out. And we like somebody on there to... You have, if you're on Patreon, you have any kind of option if you ever wanted to name an episode. We still do ridiculous names for the episode. We want our names to be more ridiculous, but kind of also kind of tell you what's in the game. We just like this long, ridiculous names that nobody wants to read is kind of our jam.
With the format change, it allowed us to focus specifically on
one game.
On the one.
Yeah.
Which does make it a little easier and more fun, because you just can be wacky with the one thing.
Yeah. Anyway, with all that said, links to everything about the podcast can be found in the show notes. With that, we continue to have... I don't know if we'll ever do multiple games again, but we have one game for you this week, and we did mention it last week, and Blake will go into that now. Or the developer, I guess, before the game.
All right. The one and only game we're talking about today is called Beacon Pines. So it originally came out September 22nd, 2022. And it came out on Windows, Xbox Game Pass, and Switch. It hasn't come out on PlayStation yet, as far as I can tell.
That's weird.
It does seem strange.
It's not going to be tough to port or anything. It's not much of a...
But I didn't see anything where it was coming. It just seems awful strange. I think it launched on Game Pass.
It could be like a Game Pass contract thing, yeah.
So maybe like a... What time? Well, no, it's past a year. But it came off Game Pass, so who knows?
It could be coming to PlayStation any day now. Who knows? Doesn't matter.
Yeah, but I just thought that was kind of there. Now, it is developed by Hiding Spot Games. Now, like all these small-time companies, they are difficult to track down and figure out. Because they have a website, but it only talks about their games and not like them.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah.
Unless the creators haven't got much of a history.
Which they... I want to say sadly, but not unfortunately, they don't. They are a new company. They looks like they started in 2017, and they are based out of Austin, Texas. And they are 8 people total. And they have done 3 games. They have done Beacon Pines, and then they have their very first game, their first solo game, called Flipping Ninja. And it's a mobile-only game, but it's... Which you can download. It's free to play, and it's got ads, and you can in-game app purchases. And I played it for, I don't know, about a half hour earlier this week, and it's just you tap left or right on your screen, and your little ninja, which can be a wizard or a ninja or a warrior, it just does flips diagonally on a plane of 3 spaces.
It's an infinite runner.
It's an infinite runner. So as you're tapping left or right, he'll flip diagonally left or right, and occasionally. You can tap back and he'll flip back one space, and it allows you to switch from the dark tiles and the light tiles to plan your movements better, because there are traps and stuff that are instant kill you. And it was fun, I guess, but I was like, I'd rather play something else with... Like, I get, like, if you're waiting at the airport for your plane, you're cool, or your drop trowel, at the bathroom or something, you're like, let me just do this in my break at work. So
it's not our kind of stuff. I know Blake mentioned that they had a mobile game that he's going to download and try, and he would tell me to try it myself if it was worth it for the sake of the podcast, and he never texted me back about trying it myself. So that's as far as that got.
It's only okay.
Yeah,
but
nothing like Beacon Pines, apparently.
No, nothing at all, which is cool. It's great to see that the ambition,
diversity, and getting developers.
Mm-hmm. And who knows, maybe that means, because it's still active, so I'm sure people are still, $2 share, $3 share, helping fund whatever their next adventure is after. And so they did have a collab that they did for a game called Ephemerade, and it was in conjunction with, what's that thing, Bandcamp? with the music.
Really?
Because it was a musical rhythmic adventure, but it all seemed to be point and click on the computer. I couldn't find it anywhere else, but it was like on Steam and through Bandcamp. And I just watched like the opening trailer, or like I watched someone play like 10 minutes of gameplay, but got bored in the first 2 minutes, so I stopped the video.
That's not good.
But it was like a little dragonfly, and it had this cool little cinematic, because it was a cool art style. What everything in the game was cut out construction paper, so mm-hmm. everything kind of looked pushed off the background a little bit. Everything was just, like I said, it's cardboard construction paper cut out. Okay. So it looked kind of cool. But this little dragonfly butterfly thing kind of had this intro, and it flew up to the clouds, and like as these shooting stars were coming down, you had to direct them in like a beat. The white stars went to this constellation, purple stars went to this constellation, you just pop, 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 pop. But then it was going on for like 2 minutes, and I was just like, is anything going to happen? So I kind of like skipped the video along, and something finally happened, and the constellations merged and everything. It looked cool, but...
So I was going to ask if it's worth looking at on Steam, but apparently not. Not for us.
I don't think so. It maybe if you find it cheap, it looked okay, but I don't know. Maybe it's more fun like if you were playing it, but sitting watching someone do with the mouse flinging stars back and forth. It was just...
Yeah, some things ain't fun. Ain't fun to watch, that's for sure.
Yeah. But it looked cool, and it had I liked the soundtrack of it. It was like some power metal or some speed metal, like a lot of like guitar solos, what it was, and it sounded it was pretty cool.
I was not expecting you to say that.
It was kind of rock and rolly. So I was excited for that. Okay. But that's kind of it. They've only made the two main games, which is Beacon Pines and Flippin' Ninja, and then a collaboration with this, the Ephemerade. And that's all I got for them, unfortunately. Like I said, it was hard to find stuff.
Yeah, it happens.
And I was able to look into people who like helped make the game. Like their lead person seems to be a dude named Matt Meyer. Yeah, he is the lead designer, the director, co-writer, and composer of Beacon Pines.
Jeez.
So he had a small
company. You got a lot of work to do.
He wore a lot of hats. He did have a co-writer named Brent Callahan.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'll say, like, even with what you said, two plus writers, there's a bit of a mystery to the game. It's a story game. You walk around and talk to folks. It's kind of all you really do. It's a bit of a mystery to the whole thing, but kind of like the results for everything are just kind of like.
Yeah, I'll get to that when we get to it. Yeah. One of the big mechanics of the game overstays its welcome, but we'll get to that when we get to it.
Yep.
I do have one other person to mention. Because the game has only one source of VO, and it is a narrator who voices over, because you have this thing called the Chronicle, which is this big pinkish purple book,
which like has no story significance whatsoever.
Well, it explains how you're able to do what you do.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, like a...
But there's a voiceover for only when the Chronicle / narrator speaks. And she did, from what I remember, she did a pretty good job. She was always like, oh no, that's not how that was supposed to end. What do we do? And she'll like, you know, go back. But her name is Kristen Mize, M-I-Z-E.
Mm-hmm.
And she's done this, and she did one other thing before this, and it was a game called Larger Than Light. So, but, I mean, when, you know, they're all starting out, so I will, whatever they put out next, I'll try. Like, I didn't know, I was like, this game is terrible. No. But... I definitely
we both beat it.
Yeah, I will definitely play whatever they put out next, and I'll do my best to support them.
Yeah, as long as it's not another mobile game.
Yeah, as long as it's not another mobile game. But even then, I downloaded that one, so they got to download off me. So you're welcome, guys. You didn't get any of my money, but you're welcome for the download.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do want to make note. I don't really want to talk about them, but I do want to give them props because these people. Do tend to help their money people, but the game was published by a company called was called Fellow Travelers, and they've helped publish quite a few games actually. They've been around for a while, but I wanted to note because a couple of the games you and I have either played or talked about playing. Some of them are even on Game Pass right now that we keep eyeballing, but we're like, oh, we'll wait till they leave. One of them actually did leave, and we didn't have enough time to play it. It was called Paradise Killer. Do you remember that one?
I remember having like an art, some sort of art style we were looking into, but the playtime was too long.
Too long. It was like 20 hours or something for
longer than that, probably. 20 hours we'd probably do.
Well, it was that and plus like three other games were leaving, and it was the longest one. So
we're due for like a big exodus at some point, because even this, I'm not, saying the Game Pass podcast, we've had a couple of months where like nothing too big was, nothing we cared about was leaving.
But I wanted to bring that up. There's another one on Game Pass right now called Genesis Noir that I eyeball all the time. I just haven't
started it.
Mm-hmm. And Kraken Academy.
That's on the podcast.
Mm-hmm, was on the podcast. I, however, did not do enough research to figure out what episode it was, because I'm stupid. But we did do Kraken Academy fairly recently, I think.
Yeah. I'd say I think I like to be Beacon Pines better than Kraken Academy.
I think so too. Yeah,
Kraken Academy was it like, we call it like trying too hard to be weird, but it wasn't interesting.
Yeah,
kind of.
It was like, look at all these characters and this,
but they had no like substance.
There was no depth. You see what you got. But anyway, this isn't that podcast. But and they have like four other games that they're publishing that are coming out between this year and next year. So they're helping to support the little guy, which I'm always for.
Mm-hmm. Kind of this podcast is about, except for when we do big games.
Yes. And last but not least, because I think it's fun, because we don't talk about them enough, but because they're usually the same for all games, but this game ran on the Unity engine.
Yeah. One of two engines games run on.
Mostly, but I just think it is fun to bring them up
yeah.
and talk about it. But you want to take over and speak about anything?
No, man, I ain't talking. I'm just kidding. So the game does start with the book.
Don't make me
strike
you.
The book opening up and the person narrating. The game itself is done. I wrote a cartoon aesthetic. I can't say that word. I wrote it in my notes. I can't say
aesthetic.
It. Aesthetic. I can't say it. Kind of, obviously a little hand drawn. The world and characters. I mean, what kind of cartoon aesthetic doesn't really say a lot about what a game looks like. I don't know what to compare it to. I don't want to say Disney because it doesn't really look
it's
like
not Disney. It's definitely Saturday morning cartoon. I'll say it's a detailed anthropomorphic animals.
Mm-hmm. The world's kind of generic. Like, it's just like buildings.
It's like, it's like a storybook. I'd say it's like
storybook a storybook art. That's probably kind of.
It's like a highly detailed children's storybook.
So Disney.
No. Because Disney kidifies the books and stuff that they take away.
Yeah. There's a little diorama. Every little map is kind of like a little diorama. That's not as diorama-y as like the best dioramas I've seen probably were like Moss.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to play
Part 2.
I need to play Part 2 as well. Yeah. Because now I got our quest. I got a Quest 3 finally. What's the name of the other game? Hironobu Sakaguchi's last game?
Fantasian
is dioramas, apparently.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't really seen Fantasian in action. It's because it's locked in the freaking Apple right now.
Yeah, you could do that on like your...
Well, Jessica's got a big, giant iPad. I've thought about it. But anyway, this isn't the Fantasian. But anyway, dioramas. Those probably more diorama-y. Like, I love the way...
Diorama-y.
Diorama-y, which is not a word. The way Moss looks, because like, it's kind of, you walk onto it and you have that little space to play in. It's really cool.
Mm.
I don't know why I wrote that for this. I guess every little map is kind of like that, but it's just not very interesting because it's just little towns and a forest and a warehouse.
But they
it's
are
just not
directly connected. Like, you can't,
So, that's kind of what it looks like. I do, I have, if you're kind of like they're just talking and I'm making no sense. If you click on the game in the show notes, I will link to some sort of trailer too, so you can see what the game actually looks like. That might help. Recommend anybody on our podcast, just watch a quick, just click on the thing and watch a quick little, I usually try a little 2-3 minute trailers of gameplay things, kind of see what we're talking about before we get into it. But first thing, you are introduced to Luca, who is a little anthropomorphic, right?
Anthropomorphic.
Deer. Anthropomorphic deer. He's our main character, the character you pretty much play as the whole game. I don't think you ever changed control to another character. I don't think you do.
Like, when near, like, one of the high-end near parts, like, you swap between your friends near the end, when you make the big infiltration mission, you do swap between them and go down hallways.
Do you?
Like, yeah, but it's near the end.
He lives with his nan, which I guess is, to him, it's his grandmother. Mm-hmm. His dad has passed away, because he's opening, he's at his grave, right? He's at his dad's grave.
Yeah.
Talking to his dad, you find out between these conversations that he lives with his grandmother and his mom is missing.
She's been missing for a while, almost a year.
Was it before or after his dad's death? I don't remember.
It was shortly after.
Yes, so his mom's been missing. So, Luke is pretty sad. So the game starts off, I don't know if I mentioned this podcast, I love sad stuff. I just love a sad movie, a sad game, a sad book, a sad song. I'm a sucker for it. I don't know what that says about me, but I do. This game is tinged, like layered with lots of sad. The whole game is kind of layered with sadness, but like it never, like, it's sometimes it'll get to, we'll talk about it, where kind of like it's
it never fully commits.
Never, things do, like dark things do happen sometimes, but it kind of likes to pull back.
Mm-hmm.
And like never really commit to them. And there's a system built into the game that lets you kind of, is what kind of like lets you pull back every time something crazy happens. But I do like a sad opening to a game. You know, it starts with a dead dad, missing mom, blah blah blah. It's like it juxtaposed with the cute aesthetic of the characters and
it's
stuff
a very
like that.
Bright and yeah, cute bright aesthetic. World.
Yeah. Shortly after that, we're not going to play by play of the game, that's for sure. But you do some talking. The general gameplay is walking around and like exploring the little areas and talking. It's a lot. Basically, a lot of it's this is a walking and talking kind of game. Yeah, go ahead.
I do have a note of this for the very first thing you do in the game is after your whole intro with the dad and you come back and you speak to your gran and she's like the very before the game starts and
she teaches you charms, doesn't she?
No, that's like the next chapter. Mm. But the first thing you're supposed to go do, she's like, okay, well, whatever you do, don't get in trouble. Because you're going to go play or whatever, and you're like, okay, Gran. And as soon as you say okay, the very first objective that pops up across the screen is go get in trouble with Rolo,
yeah.
which is your best friend.
Yeah. It's like a perfect time joke. She says, don't get in trouble. And you hit the button, your quest goes, go get in trouble.
Get in trouble with Rolo.
I remember that. I like that.
I made notes specifically of that. Yeah.
So speaking of, you're going to go meet his best friend Rolo, who's a character throughout the whole game. Now he has a bit of his ending is just like, dang.
Yeah.
Like, we'll get to that. Yeah. Spoilers.
Yeah. Okay.
This is a walking and talking game. We're going to talk about everything. We should have led with that from the beginning. We haven't spoiled anything yet.
Except for like, you know, his mom's missing, his dad's dead.
That's the opening scene. Yeah. That's literally the opening scene. We're going to spoil all the little twists and turns that we remember. I got a lot of it in my notes, hopefully. We're going to spoil all the kind of twists and turns and the mystery of what's happening in this little town. So just if you haven't played it, this isn't the greatest story ever written, obviously. So if you don't care to have things ruined, then you might want to play it afterwards. Have at it. It was on Game Pass. It's not anymore. I don't know what it cost normally. That's not that important currently. Spoiler warning. So you go to meet Rolo, who I wrote in my notes is Fox ? Or Cat ?
According to their official wiki fandom page, he is a liger.
A liger. Okay. So that's why it was confusing. I was like, I can't know if he's a fox or a cat.
His father's a lion, his mom's a tiger.
Okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah, they have a lot of weird animal things that go on. Like, you have Rolo, who's a liger, and then your main character's a deer, and then almost everyone's, you know, everyone is some sort of animal.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get to a weird thing, because they also, like, they're kids, so they kind of match. But then you meet one of your other characters, your other best friend, new best friend. Their name is Beck, and they're a black cat. But then one of their moms is a ferret, and the other mom's a gerbil.
Could be adopted. She's probably adopted.
Probably adopted.
I don't think it talks about it.
It doesn't bring it up at all.
She's probably adopted.
Because I was like, well, I guess I never brought it up, but maybe she doesn't know. Or maybe.
Surely she knows.
Oh, I did. Beacon Pines is usually $20.
$20?
That's an okay price. I mean, if you don't have a guide, you're playing it for a long time trying to figure out.
Yeah, I'm sure we followed the TA guide for this.
We definitely followed the TA guide.
Okay.
Speaking of the TA guide, I got the 1K in 6 hours and 45 minutes.
Put that on the end where I put it in. Let me scroll down the bottom of my notes as Blake jumps ahead. I got it in 7 hours, which is no way you beat a game faster than I did.
Apparently, I did on this one.
Hold on a second. Keep talking. I'm gonna look at my exact time on TA.
I got it for 6 hours and 45 minutes.
You don't ever beat a game faster than me. No freaking way. Keep talking. Talk about something else.
This one time at Bandcamp.
No. So next on my notes is, I think even before you go. Even before you go meet Rolo, you move around Luca's house and you start collecting charms.
The charms, yes. So the charms, or the gaming device that happens within the Chronicle, they allow you to make choices at key, the game calls them turning points. It's like a branching narrative.
It's never very terribly interesting.
No. So what'll happen is I felt almost from the get-go that there were too many of these charms.
That's 6 hours and 59 minutes.
So there are 28 of these charms, and each have a specific, usually a word or an action of some sort. And I'll quickly speed through a couple of them.
Well, just within his house, you find tickle, hide, chill, ponder, and junk. I wrote all that down here. I have a bunch of charms written down. You collect so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
And like most of them, which is kind of irritating, like the system's not complicated enough for all this stuff to matter. Like any given section, you're able to choose from like two.
I think three. Sometimes. I think the most you ever had was
it's very
four.
Limited. Like it would take a bigger team to like elaborately build a system where you can change. There's just, like I said, there's too much of it. And some are just jokes.
Some are literally just jokes.
Jokes that happen sometimes. And like you just find these by touching different things in the environment. Sometimes they come out of conversations or doing stuff for people you collect. You collect mm-hmm. charms. Now, nobody knows. Like, they're never referenced. Like, nobody talks about, like, Luca's like, I can't wait to get more charms. They're not in-game referenced.
Mm.
It's like a thing only the narrator knows about, I guess. And I don't know if the narrator is the one, are you playing as a narrator who is changing the story, or...
You're playing as someone who has the book, and the narrator is speaking to you. So it's confusing,
but anyway.
Slightly weird.
But you'd have charms, that's how you do... you change certain events because most of the turning points you talk about, it's like you like dead end of something, and it's like let's go back and let's change what this says. Like it teaches you to do it on a small conversation.
Yeah.
With Nan, I think you could say like one or two things with her. So it's a loose little thing. Charmed. It's like the thing about the game that should be a lot cooler than it is, and it kind of just doesn't go anywhere.
And the other thing is the fact that
it seems so separate from what's happening.
Yes, very much so, and no one. Acknowledges it.
Yeah.
Not even Luca.
Well, doesn't later...
Yes.
Isn't there a conversation later where, like, he has previous knowledge? That's the only time in the game... We're jumping ahead.
Yeah.
There's a part in the game where he acknowledges having prior information from going back.
Yeah.
As, like, when he have it all the time.
Yes. That's another thing that threw me off is because he has a conversation with a character named Nat, or Natalie. Nat for short. She's a little mouse that you meet... periodically throughout the town. She's another little kid, but she has knowledge beyond what you, the player, even have, and she like warns you about some stuff because she thinks that you have it, but she's not speaking. It's like the not to give the game too much credit, but it's like Assassin's Creed, where she's not speaking to you, she's speaking to your descendant down the line, she's speaking to the player.
Yeah.
So that you know what's going to be happening next. And not, and Luke is like, what are you talking about, who are you talking to? And she's like, don't worry about it. As I thought, it was kind of weird. It happens like twice, and it never, you never see that character again.
So strange.
Like they
it's what's a half measure sometimes.
Yeah, they almost had too much going on. Then they didn't realize, oh, we don't have enough budget for this. Let's start cutting some stuff. How about you cut some of these charms?
Yeah.
That were literally used, like you would pick up a charm, it was used for a joke.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that didn't serve any point, and it really wasn't that funny.
Yeah.
But...
You know, we're not developers.
Yeah. It's hard to determine the length of a game and stuff like that. And sometimes you're like, it's fluff. You don't need fluff. Make your game good. And if
so
people
they
like,
didn't need the fluff charm.
Yeah, well.
There's not one.
Thankfully, there's a couple of them.
So you go to, you do, there's so many different maps of places you go. The kind of game kind of runs in circles because you're in the town. Beacon Pines is what's important. It's kind of like a little town.
Like town and like some outskirt areas.
So the main part, you start at your house or your grand's house, and there's a city, the town. I say it's really just a town, it's like a town square. Then above the town is the little fishing thing, which is for one achievement really late in the game, a little fishing pond with your dad. And then above that is a place you go to quite a bit, which is their treehouse.
Yes.
And then you got to the east is another side part of the town where.
Well, that's where the actual town square is. It's in the east.
Yeah, and then further east is the mansion of the guy who owns the big company.
The Valentine estate.
And then what's her name's parents' house?
Beck.
Beck's house, and then there's the warehouse where we'll get to in a second, and there's some other random things.
North of the town, because you can take, there's a branching path.
Yeah.
It takes you to the fishing pond, which takes you to your treehouse, but there's another thing. If you go up to the pond and go right, you lead to like the Weeping Wood, which is where
I think it's the other side of town.
That's the other side of town. Okay. Yeah,
but it still goes up to the little like one little map of the Weeping Wood thing, and then it goes up. That goes up to the, like the other thing where the first batch of goop is.
Yeah, the goo, aka I call it the ooze, just because ooze sounds better than goo.
So you do run into you beat Yaldabrolo, and you're going about the little treehouse they've been building. You come back here a bunch of times, but really it's just a place they hang out or some. You get to do a couple of charm, you know, turning points happen here. Mm-hmm. Some big, like, there's like one random big one that happens there, like one that like changes like two different timelines, like a rather large one. That's just there. It's a strange place to have one, of course, because you're fighting off, like, not fighting, you're like,
you're defending your treehouse from something.
From some bad guys.
Yeah,
so, I mean, more walking around. I wrote down meeting Holden. I don't remember who Holden is. Do you remember who Holden is?
Holden.
Yeah, meet Holden. Maybe I wrote it in my notes as a character, and then like it didn't really ever pan out the character to be.
Because the only other character that I have wrote down is
Did you write down Roxy?
Well, that's Rolo's older sister. Yeah, so you have some stuff with her. But what was that name you just said?
Holden. Again, I could have been. This is my notes. I could have wrote down somebody who didn't matter just because I was talking to everybody.
He's the editor in chief of the paper.
Yeah, so nobody will ever talk to again. Okay, so that's what happens.
So I don't know.
When you're taking notes of characters that you don't know their significance, you write down names sometimes of people who you never talk to
again. I wrote down some of the important names, because the other thing that happens too, as you talk about sadness, is your town used to be bumping, used to be thriving and doing really good, and it is on the downward slope of becoming a ghost town. Because you have some people, one of the characters you interact, and he actually, I wrote down, he gave me a really good line that's near the end of the game. It's this character named Jeff, but it's like the old English way, G-E-O-F-F, and he's an otter who ran a hardware store, but the hardware store was shut down, and so he just gets drunk outside his store that he used to own. And at one point, near the end, you're trying to get his help to break in somewhere. Because he knows some people that know some people still, because people come to him and ask for favors, because he's like the old timer. And they're like, hey, you hate the Valentine people, the Valentine estate. And they're the people who founded the town and so on. So they got some pull. Like the Valentines are the ones who founded the town.
That's the company who made it. What do they do?
It was mining.
Classic mining. It was always a big mining town. A mining town just in Life is Strange, didn't we?
Yeah,
it
was a mining town. But you go to Jeff, and you're like, hey, Jeff, we know that you hate the Valentine estate, and we need your help or something. And he says, quote, hate. Hate is a strong word. I didn't say it was the wrong word, but it's a strong word. And you're like, and so like he ends up like giving you some detail. He has like an old, because he was like a janitor. I think he's a janitor at the place, and so he has like a skeleton key for everything, and he loans it to you to go do some stuff. So I remember him being a pretty cool character. And there's a whole slew of characters. Some of them you barely interact with.
Yeah.
And I do think it's funny. There is one character named Miss Hatch. She sits in the town square the entire game. You can talk to her if you want.
She's up sitting on the fountain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think she's like an iguana or a lizard of some sort. And so she has a book. There's a slew of characters you interact with, and sometimes just once, because there's like a little fair at one point you hang out with, and there's the dude who runs the watermelon hut, and the person who has the balloons, and they're all detailed characters, which I think is detailed.
The art's fine. Yeah, you just don't really have a deep conversation with anybody. Yeah.
But one of the characters I liked interacting with was this character named Miss. Is it Miss or Mrs.? It's Miss Hatch. And she's just reading a book by the fountain the entire game. Mm-hmm. And every time you talk to her, she's like, oh, wow, I can't believe this is happening. But she's talking about her book, and she tries to talk to you about her book. And you're just like, well, I gotta go. She's okay, let me keep reading. And then like at the very end of the book, like, as the credits are rolling, you get free reign. You get to like walk around the town. Mm-hmm. And you go back and talk to her, and she's like, it was such a good book. Did I miss anything? She had no idea. All the conspiracy, all the crazy stuff that happens, even in like the separate branches of the timeline that happen. Mm-hmm. She's just sitting there reading her little boogie book.
Yeah, that's fun.
And I just thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool, because I guess a little character you got to deal with. I didn't even talk to her. I should have spent more time talking to other people, maybe to expand the lore of the game. But like, I don't know, there's just so many of them just hanging walking around town.
There's a lot, and some of them you only talk to like once or twice even.
Yeah.
There's also that weird cult. Not necessarily they're a cult, but they're the people who run that grocery store, and they're like, "Smile for us, please."
I don't think I talked to them.
Do you remember them?
Uh-uh.
They're the people who ran the the grocery store, and they always stood out with a clipboard.
Well, that's the clipboard guys. Those work for the Valentine.
Yeah,
don't they?
Yeah, they were so creepy and cult like, and were like, "Please sign, please sign, please put your name on this." And it was like they had a mayor? No, they had that hyena dude, Mr. William Kerr.
He's one of the bad guys.
Yeah, the clipboards. He works for.
We're jumping all over the place.
Yeah, no, it's a.
So one of the inciting. Well, there's like two, I guess. There's the slime or the hiding in the dumpster come first?
The hiding in the dumpster comes first. And it's one of the first things you do before. That's like if you do that before the split. That's like your tutorial to the turning points.
Or a bigger one.
Yeah, to a.
Because you have a small one with your grand where you can save one thing or the other doesn't change anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's a one in the with the dumpster area where you go. You end up going to like the place. You know, it's like the part of. You're like not supposed to go play at the warehouse, blah blah blah. Don't go play at the warehouse. And of course, you know, don't get in trouble. So Rolo and Luca want to go to the warehouse where they're not supposed to go and get in trouble.
I mean, they're 12-year-olds. What are you going to do?
Yeah, so they go there. And that's where you have your first like. I don't think I wrote down the two choices, but these are actually ones that kind of alter. You have an altering timeline thing here now, where there's no. True timeline. I guess there is like an overall true timeline because mm-hmm. you have they see a guy who is like hiding a body, I guess.
Yeah.
And they go and hide in a dumpster, and the guy throws the body in the dumpster on top of him.
Yes.
So all suddenly it's like because it's all like pretty you know nice and bright town meeting all the funny people, and then you go here and play at the warehouse, and then this tonal shift of this guy like dragging a body around and throwing a body on top of you in the dumpster, which is pretty cool. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was just like, oh my god! And you're
I think you get caught by the guy, and I forget the two ways it can go. I think you can escape, but Rolo gets caught.
Mm-hmm. You send Rolo out first,
mm-hmm.
and then you go behind him and you get caught because this is one of the first things that happens. You're like, oh man, the game gets dark because mm-hmm. the thing it kills Luca.
Yeah, the guy just kills Luca.
Yeah. To cover up whatever's going on in the town.
So that's one of like the dead end ending kind of things.
Yeah.
Unless you change the. I wish I wrote down all the different things. I wrote some of them down here. Besides,
I have a list of all of them. If you want me to go down it real quick.
No, I don't like Weepwood Warehouse. I wrote turning point, change, or struggle.
Yeah.
I don't know what change would do. Struggle would be like struggling from the guy and like getting away, and that changes to the other ending. I get the other. Path. I don't know what change means.
Yeah, well, change is one of the options. I don't know what it would do either.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Here's our better version of this podcast. We still, even with notes, can't remember what we did when we did the game. Been a while since we played the games too. Anyway, I don't remember how you use it, but you're here at the warehouse. I do like you get the rumble charm and the shit charm.
Yeah, it's just called the shit charm.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember what you use it for.
To
But you do get the walkie-talkies here, which are really only... You don't really get to use the walkie-talkies. They're like a story thing when you're like looking for a
Rolo.
So it could get confusing because we're going to get lost in the different choices of timelines here. But the main one up here is the kind of one you kind of... It kind of seems like the main thing is where you wake up back at home
mm-hmm.
and Rolo's missing is the thing that matters.
Yeah.
Like Rolo's like just gone.
He is gone. And that's the primarily who you're looking for. You're looking for Rolo.
Yeah.
And that is how, I think shortly after that is where you're introduced to your...
Okay, so I see here, so I think, what the fuck, if you go, it's like, you, so you can go to the, either you go to the warehouse with or without Rolo, or is it like you run with or without Rolo? Can you go to the warehouse without Rolo?
I think you can go to the warehouse without Rolo.
So that's my two things. With Rolo, you hide in the dumpster, find walkie-talkies, have the body thrown on you, escape, and run away. And that's when Rolo becomes missing. If you go without Rolo, you get captured by the man in the yellow suit, and it ends in a game over. Okay, so that's how we do that one.
Yeah.
Okay. After escaping, you run into Nun Creed. So you don't go straight home first. You run into Nun Creed for the first time,
mm-hmm.
and he's a
he runs like the general. No, he runs like a little Is it a general store? No. Yeah, I think he runs like a general store because he gets jelly because part of your family makes their money from your grand selling her jams and jellies to a couple people around town, one of the biggest ones being Mr. Nuncreed. Does that ring a bell?
And he's the first, like, truly suspicious person you talk to.
Oh, yeah. Incredibly suspicious.
Yeah.
Joseph Nuncreed.
What kind of animal was he? Do you remember?
He's like a, according to the wiki here, he's a terrier. He's a dog.
Oh, okay, cool. So Rollo's missing. That's like the pivotal little thing here for a while. You're searching all over the place for him. You do all kinds of different, like all over town. I don't remember if anybody's really all that worried that he's missing.
No, because Rollo does like to pull pranks around. He's a little prankster, so people aren't exactly like, whatever, he's Rollo just pulling some stupid little prank again. But his family is worried. Even now, they're like, he plays pranks, but he never stays out all night.
Yeah.
And so his sister's really worried. And then I think before, because you're introduced to this duo, there's Tish the Rhino, and then there's like, there's Iggy, but I forget what he is. I think he's a cat.
Iggy's a cat. Tish is a hippo.
No, I thought she was a rhino.
I wrote hippo, but you kind of jumped ahead a little bit for stuff I wanted to mention.
She got a horn. She a rhino.
Oh, she's a rhino.
Do you know the difference between rhinos and hippopotamuses? Or are you just judging because she's a fat little girl? You horrible person, you.
I wrote down hippo.
She's a rhino. She got a horn, bro.
Yeah. We'll get to them in like 1 second. Okay, as we go through looking for Rollo, you end up going to the history museum. And there is a history cinematic there, kind of telling you a history of the town.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did I write that down and not write down the history of the town? You are correct. I have no idea. The history, I think it's generally like small town, big company comes in, makes a lot of money, and now we're kind of on the other side of that. Now it's kind of, it talks about the old Valentine people.
What's his name? The founder of the town is a gentleman named Sharper Valentine.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he's the founder and the builder of the mine company and all that stuff. And
yeah, you're wandering around some more. You end up going to like there's a little outside section. There is like a random achievement here for like smacking a watermelon.
Well, there's like two of them. I think there's like smacking it and then there's a kicking it and then smacking it like 20 times or something.
Yeah, not sure what the relevance of that. Like sometimes the achievements are random. Sometimes I wonder if like achievements like that are just like an inside joke for the developers, like something funny happened in the office or something. But so let's put it in our game, and nobody understands like why it's relevant to anything.
Well, there's only 12 achievements in the game, I think. No, 10, and two of them are related to that watermelon. One of them is found a way to kick the watermelon, so you got to find a way to kick it. And then there's one for hitting it 20 times. It's like really,
yeah. You will go to the library because you end up on a. Are you on like a scavenger hunt yet?
That's one of the things before Rollo disappears. Where you go and you do the town fair, whatever it is.
So you meet Cato the penguin in the library.
It's like founding day. It's like the founder's day, and you're celebrating the founding of the city.
Yeah. So we continue on like you're still running around looking for him, and you do this is at some point during this is where you do meet Beck.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, I think he's running to her. Outside her house.
She's like chilling somewhere.
You meet Beck and y'all become like friends right away.
Well,
now
what happens is she's new to the town, mm-hmm. and she's perfectly happy staying in her room and reading. She doesn't like people, but her moms are forcing her to go out and make friends in this new town because they just arrived. And so you're out and you bump into him and you're like, oh, I'm so sorry. And you're like, go about your way. And then one of her moms comes by and goes, oh, hi, we're so-and-so's mom. Are you her friend? And she's like, she like elbows you and goes, you're going to be my friend. And they're going to invite you to dinner. You're going to come to dinner because you're my friend. And then we won't ever talk again. And so you kind of get roped into being her friend just to lie to her mom. And then y'all become
actual friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's with you when you go up into the woods for the first time and you find your first little instance of the green goop or the ooze, as you want to call it. And then also, when you're there, y'all are looking to do something else, and that's when Iggy shows up for the first time, Iggy and Tish. Iggy is your classic bully.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he or she, I don't know if it's a boy.
I think it's a boy.
A boy. He is, you know, just a bully. Like, it sucks.
he's like a really awful bully. He's like, oh no, your dad died and your mom's missing. Wah, wah, little baby.
Well, that's like typical bully behavior.
He's like, Jesus, kid.
So he splashes some green goop on Beck. Right. I don't know if you see the results right away. It's in her hair.
Mm-hmm. It's like the following day.
Following day, I guess. And then, but and then she, I think she ends up pushing Iggy into like face down into the green goop. And I don't know
Luca does.
Luca is, you know, is defending Beck. He pushes Iggy into the green goop. Do you see the results right away?
No, it does take a little bit of time
to see him. So he knows he's mad. He runs away and. I think Tish is like such a. There's no point in Tish.
Tish is his muscle.
Muscle, I guess. She doesn't do anything though.
No, she
just talks.
She's like the hype man muscle for. Because yeah. Iggy's a small cat and she's a big old rhino, but they're friends and they're.
Yeah.
Cruelty.
So all that stuff happens. And all those events that leads to other stuff. I wrote down. So this where things get real confusing. Running back from there, you run into Nuncrete again, I'm guessing. And I wrote in my notes, I think he does the kidnapping right here.
Mm-hmm.
If he does, which I guess if he does, it's a game over.
Yeah.
And then you just wake up back at home again.
You have to change the timeline to where you don't go that way, or you do the things in a different order to where he's not there.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I forget how it goes.
It's like you end up.
I think you end up back at home because I have Rolo. All of a sudden, Rolo's talking to you from on the walkie.
Yeah,
and they're saying like where he's like he's in a weird place. He's don't know what's going on. Blah blah blah, and tells you to go back to the treehouse. Things escalate really. I'm reading my notes ahead right now. Things escalate pretty quickly from here on out.
Well, because the game is split into 9 chapters and an epilogue.
Yeah,
and some of those chapters, it's weird how they do it. They just kind of end. And it skips around them because, like, chapter 6 will be like one way, but then there's like 3 parts to chapter 6. And depending on which of the charms you use, you can actually finally progress through chapter 6. And there's a bunch of them like that happen like that.
Yeah.
But there is another character that you meet very early on your way to deliver jams and stuff. And
jams is coming later, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is like in order of my notes, the jams is coming after a bunch of other stuff.
Oh.
It's like a weird
God.
The game escalates and then like kind of like
takes de-escalates.
De-escalates. Yeah. So back to like.
Were you going to mention Solomon yet? Because that's a key character.
I don't know when you meet him.
You meet him for sure when you're doing the jam run because he walks out of a store. You bump into him. He's a kid. He's like a Doberman close to your age as you're giving jams to Mr. Nuncrete.
So he'll come around with the jam thing.
Okay. Sorry.
So, as you got Rolo on the walkie-talkie, he tells you to go back to the warehouse, to the treehouse, I guess.
Because you guys have the satellite, and you get a better signal to...
Better signal to figure out where he's at. So, you're running back there, and I do wrote, right, as you're going to the treehouse, you do hide behind... There's a town sign, the Beacon Pine sign. Mm-hmm. You hide behind the sign with... you meet Dawn the Bat, which she's like your little reporter girl for the town. She's not important, really.
But, yeah.
But you do hide in the grass, and some adults... come through and they're like being very I just wrote see adults conspiring. I forget if you get are they in shadows or do you see like the actual adults conspire like which characters
you see
are?
Their silhouette but based on because the art doesn't change you can tell who it is by the silhouette.
Yeah, when you get back I do see that. So it's like something weird is going on here. People are talking about some weird stuff at nighttime when it's going on. You get back to the treehouse and things are already like escalating. You back is where you first see mutated Iggy.
Yeah,
his face is all jacked up from the green goop. This is like a permanent disfigurement for this character. This dude's like, he's ruined, which is pretty crazy. He's being chased by clipboards.
Yeah,
they're trying to collect him because he came into contact with the goop. They're trying to, you know, contain that. This is where one of the big, this is the treehouse, the big
fight,
big turning point.
A big turning point.
Yeah, you only have one of the options the first time you come here because you have to get one. You have to get the other one later in the game. Your only option right now is to fight, because William Kerr, who's the bad company man, is here with clipboards, and you fight and use what Rolo is called the mission controlled defense cannon, which I don't think it really does anything.
I'm not even sure if it's as strong as a potato gun. It might be like a Nerf gun.
Yeah.
Like a Nerf Gatling gun or something.
That ends up in being a game over. Like the clipboard's overrun, I guess, ends up being a game over. Now, I wrote all the way back at the warehouse. You jump all the way back in time to the warehouse for the first time, and this is where you use Struggle.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you get away from the guy. So now you have Struggle. What was the guy caught you before?
and you had no
game over. Mm-hmm. So now, somewhere down the line you got struggle and you get away and you run away from the guy in the suit, and we didn't say he's wearing like an orange,
a yellow hazmat suit.
So this podcast sounds like a myth because this game can be kind of confusing.
It's confusing. We only able to get through it because we had a guide. Like if you're not using a guide, it might be much more difficult. I highly recommend a guide to experience in its fullest and be
gone. So you do get back home. So the escalate craziness for a minute there. So much weird crap is going on, and you're just like, okay, all the escaping and the time travel again and no reference to it, whatever. But then you wake up the next morning, and your nan needs you to go deliver jam for her. That's where the jam part comes in. That's weird escalation, and then kind of kind of done with that part for now. I think this is something to do with the timeline jumping, just like you jump to different parts of things that are happening. Now I'm confused right here. This timeline is Rollo missing?
Mm-hmm.
He's still missing.
Yeah.
Okay. So delivering jam, you meet Mr. Tullier, the squirrel. And I wrote he talks about the jam suspiciously, so you're not just delivering jam, apparently.
Yeah. Well, because it's him. Yeah, okay, I remember that character. It's Tulliver, right?
Tullier. I wrote Tullier. I could have the name wrong, though. The Tulliver.
It might be. I'm double-checking.
It's not important.
Yeah, Hiram Tolliver. Tolliver.
He's a squirrel.
He's a squirrel, yeah. And he has a daughter named Fitz.
So that's what you talk about earlier. Like you talk about the watermelon achievement, because while you're holding the jam, you can't slap. So now you go and kick the watermelon while you're holding the jam. Not sure what that's about. You go to the last chance. You're delivering jam to all these people who need jam.
Mm-hmm.
Or, quote unquote jam. There is jam, but there's something else in the jam. You go to the last chance diner and meet Mrs. Fratelli. She was actually one of the shadows conspiring earlier. I wrote that down. You can actually tell. I don't know what kind of animal she is, but she was one of the shadows conspiring. I forget who the other shadows were, but I didn't write down who the other shadows were.
I can tell you them.
Yeah.
The three shadows that were conspiring were Mr. Tulliver, Mrs. Fratelli, Fratelli, and Gran.
Oh, Gran was the other one. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They were the conspirators.
So, and this and the timeline is different. Now you actually meet Beck in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
It's very confusing because, it's two different timelines where you've met her now. This is the one where you said you pretend you're already her friend and go to dinner.
Okay, this was that one?
This is that one. The second time you meet her is when you pretend you're already her friend, you go to dinner at her house.
Timelines get confusing.
Yes. I know this is going to sound like a mess when you're listening to it. I'm sure we're going to just playing the game. So that's you do all that. You meet her. You meet Ilana and Nellie, which are Beck's moms here. So this is actually what we're meeting for the first time. One is actually a scientist who is working for the company, but she doesn't know it's a bad company. They moved here for that because the job is really good.
It's really, really good, apparently. They're paying her buckets of money.
So Rolo's not missing here. Okay, well, check this out. I'm reading my notes as I'm going along. Luca, I forget the actual moment, but Luca and Beck do have a really good bonding moment because Luca can't go home because it's storming.
Mm-hmm.
After dinner, it's storming real bad. And they have I'm guessing it was a.
They go up to her bedroom and they talk about because she has nothing. She has some boxes, and he asks about what's in these boxes, what's in those boxes. How come you don't have anything on your wall? She's like, because we move so much, there's no point in me unpacking because we'll be gone before too long. And then he actually helps her unpack one box and put up some stuff around her room. And then they talk about the rain and that it reminds her of wherever city they used to be in, where it rained a bunch and it was where her best friend used to live. But she can't go back. She can't communicate with him because that friend has moved on. They used to write letters back and forth, and she wrote him a letter and never got one back. And so she's real sad about that.
Depressing.
Mm-hmm.
So now, going back to the treehouse, and I wrote in my notes, Rollo. So Rollo, this must be the path where you took Rollo with you, okay? It's very confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Rolo's not missing. Now Rollo, I wrote here, Rollo is mad that you didn't come back. And Luca and Rollo have a fight.
Yes.
So I wrote in parentheses, this is on the path that he didn't go to the warehouse with you and he's not missing.
Yeah. Because otherwise, he wouldn't be there to fight with you.
So I wrote, the next day, Luca pouts in his bed all day and dreams about his dad.
Yeah, you're he's depressed.
Literally pouts all day because him and Rollo the entire day he just pouts in his bed all day because him and Rollo were fighting. I guess this is the Rollo riddle stuff. You get the Rollo riddle from Roxy. Roxy's trying to get so y'all can so I guess so Rollo and Luca can make up.
Well, because Rolo said some mean stuff about like your dad and crap that. He got
other crazy stuff he says. So you do all that, and you go through all of this. Maybe this is where you're doing the running around, some of the running around town earlier to solve his little Rolo's riddles. It's kind of, you don't have to solve. There's not a lot of puzzle. I think you kind of walk around and talk to people, and it kind of plays out where your Rolo's got you running around town doing something fun, and then you end up back at the treehouse to make up with Rolo.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where you actually, I don't remember how you get it here, but I wrote right here because it's going to be pivotal here in a minute. You get the flight charm,
mm-hmm.
which is actually an important one.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Because I'm just following my notes now. Because it's all bigger events.
It's all big events. Yeah, because right here, what I think you're about to lead to is back at the treehouse showdown, basically, right?
They're getting back there in a second. There is another game over here, but I don't know how you get to this one. I wrote you get an ominous letter from Gran.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you see the big chill for the first time, and game over.
Yes. Okay. So that's that one.
I don't remember how. I don't know where you get the letter from.
I think you find it. I think it's like you're walking around.
Like a letter at the house or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you read this weird letter from your gran, and then you hear the thing that we call it, the game calls it the big chill. Everything was a flash and everything freezes.
Instantaneous ice age.
Yeah.
Like instant.
Game over. So now this is where you go back to the treehouse, jumping time again. Going back to the treehouse that's surrounded by clipboards, where you previously chose fight and it game overs, you now choose flight and you shoot this level plunger gun zip line off into the woods and you kind of ride the zip line away.
But at that point, just to clarify, in this timeline is the one where Rolo is missing and it's just you and the mutated Iggy.
Mutated Iggy. Now, still more, where they land. Now everything is covered in snow where it wasn't before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it's like the countdown to the big freeze happening. Yeah. And so it's like the cold is accumulating here before it explodes out in this little...
But the whole town is covered in snow now.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's weird how that happens. Because that part doesn't make a lot of sense. Because you find out part of this whole small town conspiracy thing... That your entire town is...
Well, yeah, you're going to get there.
But this is where it's like it starts to hint towards that, where your entire town is built on top of...
Another copy of the town?
Yeah, the frozen version of the town. Because everything atop is a copy of what's below.
Is it on top of it, or just in different parts of the forest?
It's on top of it. It's how they...
I forget, because I know they do the thing, and where they land is covered in snow. And Luca and Mutant Iggy... They pass out in the snow, and Luca dreams of the last time he saw his dad.
Yeah.
I don't remember the scene, obviously, but it must have been really, really cute and sad.
Sweet and touching, I'm sure.
I wrote meet Nat, which I guess you said is the fountain lady?
No, that's Miss Hatch. Nat is the little mouse who has knowledge. I wrote
meet Nat, in parentheses, nothing really comes of this character unless I miss something, because you don't really talk to this character. You talk to
her this one time, and then another time real close to the end of the game.
Yeah.
But she has outside knowledge. And it's just so weird. She's like, oh, you made it here already. That's cool. And you're like, what? Who are you? How do you, what?
Yeah.
And you have like two interactions with her because you can see her in town. But when you talk to her in town, she doesn't acknowledge anything. She's just like a random character. But these two times in the story when you speak to her, she has knowledge beyond what she should have as an NPC.
Yeah.
And then she gives you, like, she hints that she knows more.
It's like a half-written character or something. I don't know. It's like hints at something more interesting. This is where you learn. I don't know if you learn from Nat or you learn in general as you're exploring that the not-frozen Beacon Pines is a replicated town.
Like so it's like right here.
Yeah, so right here. You hear about the source for the first time, mm-hmm. which is the little pit thing that we're gonna learn about here in a second. Iggy gets his fireworks stash here. Which he's going to use in a little bit.
Yes, because he talks about it way earlier, is that he had some fireworks he was going to shoot off at the Founding Day festival, but when he went to dig them up, they weren't there anymore because he had hit them from last year,
mm-hmm.
and so he's like, and then he gets the idea. He's like, because when she explains that it's a copy, so he's like, if I go and dig at that place where I put my fireworks last year, are they going to be here now? And so he goes over and he tests the theory, and sure enough, they're exactly where he left them. And he thought someone had just dug him up and found him, that his hiding spot wasn't as good as he thought it was. But it turns out that somehow
they moved the entire, they built a whole other town and moved everybody over there.
Like overnight.
Yeah.
It was so strange, this weird thing. But it has a lot to do with the clipboards too, being like these mindless minions.
Yeah.
And like, I think they talk about they gassed the town and moved everything. It's like a crazy, so crazy.
I wrote it right here. Like, and more rapid fire escalation is the scene that the hole happens right here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where you can either accept, accept or refuse, I guess, are the two charms, to let Iggy die in this hole.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy. I don't know what really changes. I think either way, it's a game over here.
Yeah.
Because you can't complete this part without, you're missing another charm.
Yeah, but one of these is, well, I think Iggy falling into the pit with his fireworks
is what causes the big chill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The big freeze to happen the first time.
But either way, the fireworks go into the pit and it triggers. I think it explains it why later.
Mm-hmm.
The fireworks fall into the pit. Whether Iggy lives or dies, which he does just die in one of these things. But if we're talking about pulling back, because you're not, this is a timeline that you're abandoning anyway. So him dying is kind of like a moot point because you're not staying on this timeline.
And the fact that it sometimes affects Luca and sometimes it doesn't. Like he doesn't always talk about his knowledge. Now, sometimes later on,
he talks about his knowledge like one time.
And once or twice because it does like rewind. I think shortly after this, or you get a charm or two.
Right here, I said after the whole scene, you're like rubber banded back. I wrote you flip all the way back to dinner at Beck's house.
Yeah.
And this is when you go out. I forget what changes here, but you go outside, and this is where you see it was Gran in the yellow hazmat suit all along.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you're chased by that person a couple of times.
Yeah.
So this is where you discover that was Gran inside the yellow suit, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know if I even saw that coming.
Well, not that I wish that she has a yellow suit that matches. I don't necessarily think she was the one in that one, but she has
I think the point of the thing is it was her. Not because it's the only person you see in the yellow suit.
Why would she hurt you and kill you?
I don't know, to cover up the town secret?
Well, no. I think it's slinging aspirations that she was the person in the yellow suit, but when you figure out later, she just has a yellow suit because she was trying to break in. Okay. But she would never hurt Luca, ever, because she has her own little secret that'll be come out later. She would never hurt Luca.
So after all of that, I wrote out here, you go back to the treehouse with Beck and Rolo. Beck and Rolo meet. Because you go back with Beck this time, Beck goes back this time with you, Rolo isn't mad that you're late. He just drops the whole fight thing doesn't happen this time because you have Beck with you.
Yeah.
It's really strange. How like because it's just like avoiding the whole them fighting. This is how it avoids them fighting.
Yeah, because I guess Rolo wouldn't say the things he said in front of a stranger.
Who knows? The next day you end up back at home, and this is where you're poking around the house, and this is where you discover the secret room.
Yes. I think you discover it and then you call Beck and Rolo, or Beck and Rolo visiting you and you find it.
Maybe.
Because I think they're there and you're all searching across the house and you're in the kitchen and you pull the lever on the... Yeah.
The secret room is full of explosives and like a weird conspiracy map. And this is where you find out that there were messages hidden in the... all the jam had messages hidden in them for all the people Graham was delivering messages to.
All her co-conspirators, you will.
And this is where this kind of goes a couple ways too, where you... Tolliver shows up.
Yeah, Hiram Tolliver.
He shows up and Rolo tackles him, and they end up interrogating him. It goes like two different ways, I guess. You got to do it one way and then come back and do it a different way later.
Mm-hmm.
Very confusing. I should come back towards somewhat of one of the endings, I think. Yeah, maybe. So they interrogate him, and you get one way, you don't really learn anything. He's just like a goofy like squirrel that just really doesn't really know what's going on, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
But he does know something about Gran, and he eventually leads you to go to the library to investigate something about Gran, right? He's gonna lead you to the library. And you go to the library, this is part two. I was like, huh, did you find Gran's obituary in the library, like an official obituary? And I was like,
from like a couple of years ago, like before Luke was even born.
Yeah, or something like that. So, yeah. So it's very, you know, like the what's going on.
Who's this random lady who says that she's my grandma and is staying with me after my father died and after my mother went missing. Who is this crazy deer lady living in my house?
Yeah. So then I get back at home after that. I'm guessing you try to, I don't write here, I'm guessing you try to confront Gran maybe, and a drugged Jam knocks out Luca.
Yeah, like she, like you're questioning, and then she's making sandwiches or whatever, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and she drugs you.
Yeah.
And you just wake up in your bedroom again. He wakes up in his bedroom a lot. He's like a Lovecraft character who keeps fainting and waking up safe in his room.
Okay, so I wrote some other stuff happens. Who's Murray?
Murray. Let me look up a picture. I don't know. Does he have a last name?
No, it just says Murray. I wrote Murray ? I don't know why I wrote it. Tough thing about notes on a game you haven't played in a while.
Yeah, that name didn't even appear on the list of characters. You sure you even got the right name down?
Who knows?
What do they do?
I don't know. I wrote Murray ? Then write meet Rollo and Beck. You get the Sly Charm. Mm-hmm. So maybe Murray's the wrong name, but you end up getting the Sly Charm, which is important here in a second. But this leads to, I think this is the part of the big town meeting where William Kerr. He gives his big speech, and then the big chill happens again. Like everybody's frozen, game over. You go back to Tolliver, your Tolliver investigation with Sly Cop, and you get the phone booth password. We talked about, like, we mentioned the dude was standing next to a phone booth earlier.
Nuncreed, yeah.
Nuncreed was, like, standing next to a phone booth. You kind of can't really do anything with it, but Tolliver does with Sly Cop. This is your third option with him. You do good chill cop, hard cop, you get whatever library. With Sly Cop, you get the phone booth password. You just go onto the phone booth, pick up the phone, and say, Underground Secrets.
Yeah, that's the password. It's Underground Secrets.
So you do that. You go to the phone booth, and say Underground Secret, and you end up below it, and it's like this weird room with like little... This was like a boring reveal to me.
Which one?
Under the phone booth is like these little suction tubes that go to different parts of the town. Maybe it's supposed to be mysterious because they connect to the other part of the other town, I guess, other version of the town. And also, Nuncreed ends up down here, and in a panic, y'all jump into one of the tunnels and go, phew, you fly away.
Yeah.
I don't know why it doesn't follow you, but you
end up... I think his order, number one order is containment, and that is to call his supervisor and to get people down there fast because he is an older gentleman who can't really move that fast.
So you jump in the tunnel, you end up back in Frozen Beacon Pines, and you end up back at the whole scene again.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing's happened, and you have a turning point of two charms, Weep and Hum. Weeping is like a dumb one. Like I said, one-off use. Weep just ends up in a big chill. Like, I forget how what happens. You just weep and you cry.
He gives up.
And starts crying. Big chill. Here's the big one. You'd start humming something from his some song that he knows. I guess his Nan keeps humming it to him, and he's afraid. You know, he grew up with it. And he starts humming it, and the hum sequence reveals that Nan is actually your mom, who has been aged by the green ooze.
Mm-hmm.
And you had seen it. We tried to mention earlier that like Beck's in the one whatever version it played out. Beck got splashed with it. Her little part of her hair is gray.
Mm-hmm.
So Nan is actually your mom. Who's been your mom this entire time. She must have got experimented on, or I don't know. She ended up being aged by the green goop. That's the big secret, is the green goop is a aging substance, which is very strange. I did not see some of this stuff coming. I don't know if it was because I don't know if it's earned. People always say like reveals, like some reveals like this stuff need to be earned and stuff like that. I just don't know if this is necessarily earned as a big reveal. Like all the stuff with and Grand and stuff like that, all kind of, I didn't see a lot of it coming, but I don't know if the clues, a good reveal is like, the clues are there for you to figure out.
It leads to the fact that the conspiracy is that she definitely was the leader of the co-conspirators, and they were going to blow up, I think they were going to blow up the source, is what the whole point was.
Yeah.
But the fact that Tolliver wasn't fully informed, and neither was Mrs. Fratelli, because she even was withholding information from them. But they were suspicious of her because they were like, well, you died. Because they knew her, because they're older individuals. They knew Gran and that she had died. But this person had so much knowledge of them that they perceived that she was Gran, but didn't know exactly. And so like, a lot of this stuff is there, but by this point in the game, I'm like, Are we done yet? Because I've had so many turning points. There's so many charms.
Yeah, we're coming up on like a bunch of random, not random, a bunch of stuff putting together an ending. So after you realize your nan is your mom, this leads into, which is the whole game, leads up to the pivotal moment at the festival.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been hearing about Sharp Valentine's, the Sharper Valentine. Sharper Valentine's, the guy.
But he's been dead.
So it comes, he's been dead. So here's that you actually find out that Solomon, the little Doberman, somehow he ages himself back up.
Well,
or maybe that's what he was trying to do the whole time.
He figured out that part of the experimentation was they wanted to bottle immortality.
Yeah.
In these bottles. And he tested it on himself, but they couldn't find a way for him to come back to the age he was supposed to be. And so there's this whole reveal as to why the Valentine estate would bother adopting some random orphan.
Yeah.
Because it was part of Sharper's will was for them to adopt an orphan from this random orphanage no one's ever heard of. Adopting himself into the family so that he has a reason to be there and be in town.
Yeah.
Without any questions. Very other than the fact that why would you put us to adopt? It makes you kind of believe that it's like a bastard child of his. Mm-hmm. Is kind of what it's led makes the whole town lead to believe. But then the whole thing shoots up is that it's actually because they perfect the drug, or the goo, and they allow him to age back to where he was supposed to be. Because when he took the drug originally, that's when he turned into a baby.
Yeah.
And his own children, Eris and Augustus, had to raise their father
to a certain point
before he could gain all of his cognitive abilities back. But at a certain point, he remembered everything.
Yeah. So Sharp Valentine is alive, which is important. Mm-hmm. Obviously important. He's the bad guy.
Sharper Valentine.
He's alive. He was Solomon. Solomon's been running around the whole game.
Yeah. He's been your friend. Yeah. He actually helps you break into the facility.
Well, I'm getting to that too. Yeah. So the big reveal leads to one of the bad endings, I guess. It's the ending that like Sharp's alive. He's bad. It's in. Game over. I forget what part we go back to here, but I did write the fishing achievement where you go do the fishing,
mm-hmm.
and each item it's a little moment with your dad where he talks about, he starts revealing certain things too, like he knew stuff about the company and blah blah blah, all that stuff. It's a whole bunch of items.
It's stuff that a parent vents to a child, but the child doesn't know the importance because it doesn't actually understand what's being said. Because you're 12 now, but you were like 2 years ago. It's like before your dad died. So that would have put you at like 8 or 10, and the difference between a knowledge between an 8-year-old and a 12-year-old is rather vast of what the mind can comprehend.
Yeah. So eventually you end up back at the treehouse. I forget how, sorry, I get lost in my notes here. So you end up back at the treehouse. Now you're back in the timeline where Rollo was kidnapped.
And I think the Rollo being kidnapped is the true timeline.
Possibly.
That's
you end up back at you're at the treehouse in the timeline where Rollo was kidnapped, and now Rollo just shows up, but he's big now.
Yes.
And I wrote, grown up Rollo shows up, isn't bothered at all.
He's
lost like who knows how many years of his life. He's just big Rollo now. He's grown up now because of the ooze, I guess.
It had to be. He's 12, and that character looks to be in their 20s. So it's at least 10 years he's lost in his life. He's lost his childhood.
Yeah, doesn't mention it. Character doesn't mention it. Doesn't care. The game just moves on. It's so weird. He's grown up the rest of the game.
Yeah.
The rest of this timelines and stuff. So here's where I get kind of lost. I know right here is where at the him and Big Rollo and Beck, I guess, they plan to break into Perennial Harvest, which we haven't mentioned the name. Perennial Harvest is the big bad company.
The Clipboard works for and William Kerr works for.
So they plan to break into Perennial Harvest. I wrote the heist. I forget why they broke into here.
Well, because they're trying to get like access codes and stuff so that they can go back to the phone booth and to get down and to get into some of the locked rooms in there.
Really? I don't remember none of that.
Because as far as... Well, they're also trying to figure out knowledge about Sharper and the ooze, because they figure the best way for them to get knowledge is the place where it's at. And while you're running around doing the heist is where you run into Solomon, your friend.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you know that he's Sharper.
You do now.
You do now.
It's happened, yeah.
But I think you do the heist before and fail.
Maybe.
Because during this thing, Luca even reveals that he knows that Solomon is Sharper and that he's not going to help him.
This is the time where this is the one time he acknowledges previous knowledge. This is the time.
Yeah. Sorry, you can you got more detailed notes.
Not really, no. My notes are running out right here. So after all the heist stuff, the whole breaking into, like, the game's kind of like at the end now.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up back at the sharp speech. And now it doesn't just end like it. Well, for it just ended as a bad ending. Now you've got the final turning point, which is three different things.
And one of them, one of the endings that you get is you mess with, you use.
I have them here written down. Okay. So I forget how, it's just these are the three options you're given for the three turning points. And you're supposed, when we did them in like the order of, you choose malice. And I forget why you choose malice.
Malice is an achievement, I believe.
Okay.
Because you switch an ingredient in the goo. And when Sharper downs it to, or Solomon downs it to grow up and to reveal that he's Sharper.
He just pops.
Pops.
His confetti, boom, confetti. I was like, oh God.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's also dark, and then
that's why you're in the perennial harvest. I'm not sure,
because you're trying to find the ingredients.
So second one you choose is junk. Because you put some junk in there,
yeah.
And he drinks it, and just turns to ash and blows away.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool. And the final one is chained, which is the true ending, I guess. And it just turns Valentine ages backwards into a baby. Like he goes too far back to where he can't. To where he won't be evil, like he can be. Like
he won't have any of. Well, we don't know if he won't have any of his cognitive abilities, because when he took it originally, he reverted back to a child who still remembered. Their goal is that he reverts back to a baby. Yeah.
His kids step in, like, want to raise him right or something like that. So that's pretty much it. Like that's like the ending. Rolo's big now.
Iggy's
either a mutant or he's dead.
He's fixed.
You don't fix him. Can't fix him, can you?
Well, you can. Well, yeah, because one of the things is you go back and
you can fix Iggy, you can fix Rolo. Rolo's just big now.
Well, you don't know where Rolo was. You go all the way. One of the things is for Iggy, you rewind all the way back to the thing, and you can't change the Beck gets the blue stuff in her hair. But instead of like, because you like charge him or something, I think is the word where you like tackle him. Yeah, you tackle him into the. I think it's when you can use like Sly or something, mm-hmm. and you come back and you speak to Iggy and you like talk to him on 101 and you're like, I don't want this. You don't want this. Let's do this. And you explain to him and he and Tish are on your side and they help later, but you get him, he gets to be alive and not mutated. Basically it's a happy Iggy. By the end of it, you can, how all the story works out, it's a happy ending for literally everybody, but Rolo. Rolo can't.
But also, he's also not bothered by being big now.
Yeah.
He's too dumb to be bothered by it.
Basically, yeah. He's
literally just too stupid to be bothered by it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Luca is, he gets to acknowledge, Gran, you're my mom, I know it. And it's like a sweet, and she's like, oh, I've been, you know, and he's like, how'd you find out? And he's just kind of like, oh, I don't know how I found out, blah, blah. And it's like, basically, it's sunshine and rainbows, like literally a happy ending for everybody, but the Rolo being at least 10 years older than he was in his body, but his mental age hasn't changed at all.
Yeah. So weird.
So very strange.
So that's the, that's Beacon Pines.
Yeah. If that sounds as,
we might've made it sound when you're playing it. No, I did get lost sometimes. I was confused by certain jump backs and why certain things were different and certain things weren't different. I was confused sometimes by playing. I just kind of kept chugging on through it just to get through it.
First and foremost, there's 28 of these charms.
Yeah.
Half. Yeah. Easily give me half. Like, and cool, every turning point has two. That's fine. Like, the wrong version and the correct version.
Mm-hmm.
But then some of these were literally, like, used for a joke.
Yeah, you mentioned that a couple of times.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I get it. But like I said, 6 hours and 45 minutes isn't really a long time. I did it over like 2 days,
mm-hmm.
but I was ready.
Done with it.
I was. I'm sure you were too. I think you were too.
Yeah.
I think you're the reason I got through it a little faster, because you're like, dude, some of these things are stupid and don't mean nothing. So I started kind of like skipping some of the dialogue on some of the, especially my guy was like, oh, you make this choice real quick for an achievement. And I was like, okay, cool. Don't even listen to the dialogue. Because it doesn't matter, because it's going to be rewound and rewritten. So I think that may be why I got through a little faster. That's the only thing that makes sense to me, is you told me that some of these endings are pointless and worthless.
Well, most of them are. That's just how it is. Do you have anything? We are silly little ratings, and we're pretty much at the end of this.
I we didn't really talk about it much other than, like, the music. I did enjoy some of the music that happened.
Remember?
Well, it has it does have a Spotify OST, and I listened to about a minute of each song the other day when I was doing my notes.
Yeah, did it bring back any memories of the game?
Some of it did. Yeah. And I don't know, again, I apologize if Brian can't find this, but maybe he can. If the OST exists on Spotify, maybe it exists and he can find it. But there's a song that was called Tiptoe. About you sneaking. I don't know if you were sneaking into the heist or you were sneaking into the warehouse, mm-hmm. But it has a cute little piano, like a dee 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 dee, like is your little tippy toes, and that was the one that had the most notoriety. But there is plenty of good music,
yeah.
And the fact that it was one dude, and I was worried because the first like three songs were just an acoustic guitar, and I was like, oh no,
yeah, indie acoustic guitar.
But then as it went on, then he started doing like some techno stuff, some piano, some xylophone. Like he had like, I guess he had a several slew of instruments, and the music did get better and more complicated. And so some of the music is good, but I think my favorite that I listened to, again, I only did like a minute per song the other day while I was doing my notes. I think my favorite one happened to be one called Tiptoe.
Remember, I can play that while you're talking about it.
Yeah, fingers crossed you can find it. If you don't have anything else, we can get to our ratings.
Again, the ratings are just for fun. They don't mean anything. We kind of pulled it from our other podcast, which is also just for fun. We're not game reviewers in any kind of way. And we play weird games like this that nobody else plays. And we talk about them, and so nobody can listen to it because nobody cares.
Bah humbug. It's my party, and I'll cry if I want to.
You want to go first?
Yes, I will go first. I notate everything I feel about the game. I did like the music. I did enjoy most of the atmosphere. I liked all the characters. I didn't note, I thought it was pretty cool, is that the voice actress, that was actually a Kickstarter goal for when they hit their $50,000 mark.
Really?
They were able to
hire
a voice actress for that. And then there were a total of 9 characters that were kind of placed throughout the game. I don't remember all the character names, but there's a couple of them, and they were all a collaboration of the there were 9 characters because 9 people backed that part of the Kickstarter, and they got to help create a character to be put into the game.
Which character was that?
There's 9 of them. I'm not sure which ones they were. Come on, don't.
Like miscellaneous
Miscellaneous NPCs, yeah. Two of them were called, one's called Jensen, and he was a border collie. He was just a random of the characters. Because it was 9 people who donated $500. It says that he's just one of the characters who appears in the background and you can talk to him. And then another one was called Zariel. And they were a lion. And they were a co-worker who worked inside the... they're just someone who worked at the reception desk at the Harvest Festival that wasn't one of the Red Ferrets. So just a bunch of people who didn't really have a lot of dialogue.
Yeah.
But I thought that was cool that 9 people gave $500 and those 9 people got to create a character and stuff to be put into the game.
Yeah. If anybody, on a similar note, if anybody listening is playing Sea of Stars, which is kind of being talked about quite a bit right now, me and Blake are on the Kickstarter for that. We got to semi-design, we had to pick from like pre-selected options, but we got to like semi-design a gravestone of sorts, I guess, and then attach some sort of name. I forget if we used our names, if we used the podcast name, but we are somewhere in the somewhere in Sea of Stars.
Yeah, I do have them right here for anyone who plays. The 9 town characters are Bert, Piper, Jensen, Joey, Jace, Zariel, Lumi, Griffin, and Jetson. They were all, they kind of like added in, and it says there's an even higher tier than that. And these 4 backers were like, so it had to be more than $500, doesn't say how much it was, but more than $500. And these 4 backers got to add in main characters. And those 4 main characters that were added were Kato the Penguin, Dawn the Bat News Girl, Nat the Mouse. That may have been why that was so kind of weird, because it was a funded character. and Jeff, the homeless otter who was an alcoholic. But that's pretty awesome, actually, that all that stuff was backed and funded with through their Kickstarter. Kickstarter can do some pretty crazy, cool things.
Yeah.
Sorry. So I went down all that thing to give my... Because that's stuff that just didn't really pop up naturally in the podcast. So I do apologize for back-ending that. But so my rating is I want to give this 6 small town conspiracies out of 10.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we're over a bunch of like mid-tier ratings for games that are just kind of okay. This game, I ain't going to say much more about this, but the game is just kind of okay.
It could have been better.
Definitely could have been better. Could have embraced the darkness of the... Having cute art with a dark story would have been really interesting. There are dark moments. People know that. People die, but it backpedals pretty hard with the time travel. I don't know. I kind of liked it. I kind of didn't like it, which kind of like puts me right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give it like just a boring old 5 Secrets of the Ooze out of 10.
Yeah, my boy. I told you. Ooze sounds better than goo.
Yeah.
The Ooze.
Yeah. So that's pretty much where we are in that game. I don't recommend it, honestly. You're not really gaining anything. I mean, I could say that if developers ever randomly hear their podcasts, but...
Well, it was very well received. A lot of 7s and 8s or, you know, 8. Yeah,
it's in a 7 or an 8 game.
But it might just be people who were, like, supporting. Like,
yeah.
It's so hard to... Because some of these ratings could have been bought, too, but I don't know if anyone...
Well, they're not 8, 9 people. They can't afford to buy any review. It could be also the Kickstarter people who rate things higher because they Kickstarted and they got more passionate about it and stuff like that.
The game is pretty...
5 is maybe it might be like 5 or 5 because the game, there's no glitches. There's just not... I don't know. I just really didn't really care about feel anything at the end of it.
I was ready for the game to be over, and that's not how you should play a game. I was ready for the game to be
especially
over
for a short game.
For a short game, yeah. It was just they could like, half.
Half. You already said it.
I know. I've said it a million times, and I'll say it a million. Like, sometimes less is more. Leave the people wanting more.
Yeah. And I wouldn't if there was like a Beacon Pines 2. I would not be interested.
No. I mean, I'll play it, of course, because if it's on Game Pass or whatever, but or I can get it off GameFly. But yeah,
no, is that it?
That's everything I got.
So we've we started now announcing our next game, so people can play it or anything before we get to the next podcast. So we'd like people to take this opportunity to. When you know the next game coming, we never get anybody that writes in. We have a little pinch of listeners that listen to the podcast, which we do appreciate. We'd like to have listener interaction. Nobody, even the ones people we know that listen, even the friends we know listen, still don't write in anything either. They've played some of the games or not. But kind of point of this is to tell you what game we're playing next to give you a chance to, if you've played it and have an experience or thoughts you'd like to share, we'd be sharing them. Probably before we announce the next game would be a little spot we'd kind of do some little listener thoughts and experiences. We don't ever get any because everybody hates us, I guess. But with that said, the next game we're going to be talking about, which I did like a lot more than the games aren't relatable at all, but I did like a lot more. A game that also way overstays its welcome and just had DLC announced after we beat it. But the next game we're playing is the fishing sim. Horror,
it's like fishing, Lovecraftian horror
boat simulator game, Dredge. I won't waste much time. Dredge, I really liked a lot in like the first 5 hours, and Dredge just keeps going. It kind of dredges along.
Dredge dredges along.
See if I reuse that joke in that podcast. Dredge is cool.
Oh yeah,
we'll get into that to the next podcast. So if you and I think a lot of people have been playing Dredge recently. Recently had right after we beat it, they announced the DLC.
I think they announced it before we.
This is like back then, like when the Series X or like the One X had first come out, and then the Series X. We kept playing games that were then like after we played them, they enhanced them.
Yeah,
after we waited a long time to play Dredge. I feel like then we finally played it, beat it, got the 1K, and then they're like, "Oh, here's DLC." I'm like, "I'm not."
And it's free DLC too, I think.
No, it's too big to be free.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I think it's too big to be. It's a whole other area. It's too big to be free.
I'll have to do some more research into it.
If you have any experiences or stuff you'd like to share about Dredge, please write in to anywhere on the social medias you can find us, and then or the email address, which is. The number 2 smokingcontrollers@gmail.com. Write in and tell us your thoughts on Dredge or anything else about video games or anything related like that or anything about even this podcast would be great. We'd love to share it on the podcast and, you know, have that. So we'll wrap things up here. I want to give thanks to Jared and the guys of Emerge for letting us use the song Letting Go for our intro. It's awesome. It's not arguably, the best part of the podcast.
It is the best part.
Yeah, it's awesome. They had two really big shows at the end of last year, so follow them, and if you're anywhere near where they are, go see them. They did it really cool. They opened for Saliva in their home in Knoxville, Chattanooga, and then the one I really wish we went to is they opened for 10 years, and this whole household is big, big fans of 10 years. Been a fan of 10 years freaking forever. Very cool show that I really kind of regret not going to. It's kind of hard to get, drive down to, with all our jobs being all weird and getting down to, and I think it was like a middle of the week kind of show.
A Wednesday or a Thursday, yeah.
So getting in Chattanooga. Anyway, so they're still doing cool shows. Two awesome shows. Like, I haven't really followed Saliva since I was a teenager. It's cool Saliva's still around, and to open for them would bring more people to Emerge.
And both those bands, 10 Years and Emerge, have enough similarities in their music that I think people who went would have definitely dug Jared Emerge. And Emerge, and hopefully bolstered them even more.
Yeah, very cool. So follow Emerge on all their little social media stuff. Give them a bunch of listens on Spotify. Holler at them, tell them the guys, Drew and Blake from Lockstock sent you there. Jared will love to hear that. And we'll have him. And he's talked about we did go to one of their shows. He talked about having him he got to come on the podcast again sometime.
So we'll definitely have to do that.
Maybe we should do that at some point. Continue to wrap up. I also want to thanks to Mladen Markovic, aka Devious Pixel, for the art for this podcast, for the brand new art for this podcast, and pretty much all art he I don't say gives to us, because we pay him, of course, we pay people for good work. He does the art for other podcasts as well. He's a really cool guy. What episode was he on?
I believe
70.
70 or 80.
You want to hear us talk to Mladen for a little while? Really nice guy. Episode 70, I think we had him on the podcast to talk about art and video games and stuff like that in general. Check that out. And obviously, thanks to Brian for editing the podcast. We really appreciate the time he spends each week tackling this for us. It allows me to work on the other podcast as well.
And somehow he's smarter at it than you. He figured out a cool technique that he shared to you.
He looked it up on YouTube. It's not like he didn't figure it out. Somebody else told him how to do it, and then he shared the find.
But he was still put more work into it than you ever did.
Technically, doing that makes him put less work into the podcast.
But the fact that he searched it out is more than you ever did.
Credit where credit's due. Thanks, Brian, for editing the podcast, which now apparently you do even less because that Audacity does all the work for you. Anyway.
If you want to get a good job done well, hire a lazy person. They'll figure out the easiest, fastest way to do it. I promise you.
That's not the best way to get anything done.
I mean, he found the most efficient way to do it.
I guess so.
Lazy mofo.
Yep. So like I said, we've said in the beginning of the podcast, including with Brian as well, because Brian joins us for our Twitch streams. Come to our Twitch streams at twitch.tv/2SpookyController. Just follow us there. You'll get a little ping when we're going live. I try to post on social media a couple hours before we go live to give people, some time to come in there and drop in and talk about games with us. We like to eventually find a game where we'd want listeners or anybody, friends, or anybody like to come drop in and play. We need to play more games with, we need to play some more games with,
Tex
again. We played a little bit of stuff with him, so we kind of want to get him, play some more games with him. I need to message him, and whatever new person, because I've assigned Blake to find another guest for us, which we don't have right now because we're bad at doing guests.
I'll find somebody.
Anyway, that's all we got. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you again in a couple of weeks. Come to the Twitch streams. Okay, bye.
I want to wish everybody a good evening and good night.